In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to thank the Rector for his invitation and warm welcome here to Christ Church, Strabane, today. It is almost 34 years since I played a significant part in an act of worship in this church. That is to say, I was expected to turn up, and that was when Deirdre and I were married here in 1982. But some things don't change, and I notice still at the organ, as he was on that day, as a good friend, Roy, and I've got to know Roy quite well since then, and it's wonderful that he's still with you, that the organ is obviously sounding very sweet indeed. May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In many organizations, it is the custom to have a very special commemoration each year to mark the day or the date on which the organization was founded. And this is really a very important event for those organizations. Such an event serves to remind the members, of course, of the aims and objectives of the organization, and that is a very important thing to do in any walk of life. It may also serve to strengthen loyalty, to evoke a renewal of enthusiasm, enable people to renew their commitment. And today, on the Feast of Pentecost, Christians all over the world are engaging in this kind of commemoration as far as the Church is concerned. This is our special birthday celebration as a Church. And it is a time, of course, to give thanks to God above all for his grace. It is a time also to reflect, and to reflect upon the wonderful contribution made to the life of the Church down through the ages by many, many people. It's important for us in a church to remember that what we are able to achieve today has a great deal to do with the fact that we stand, as it were, on the shoulders of those who have come before us. And so it is, of course, appropriate that today we should be making a memorial, that we should be dedicating something on memory of someone who was a member here for many years. The Christian Church, of course, is a vast and influential body, embracing people from a great variety of races, cultures, and languages. Christianity today accounts for something like one-third of the entire population of planet Earth. You're talking about over 2 billion people. But it all began with the incident described in our first reading today, the standard reading, of course, for the day of Pentecost, the second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. That little group of apostles had assembled in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, and an extraordinary event took place. So powerful was the event that it is described by St. Luke in terms of wind and fire. Of course, it would have been extremely difficult to describe exactly what happened, but one thing is certain: the apostles had an experience of the power of God such as they had never had before. And as a result of that experience of the Spirit, these men, with all their shortcomings, with all their weaknesses, went out to undertake a task which a few weeks previously would have been utterly and entirely unthinkable. The Holy Spirit was the action of God deep within their lives, which transformed them utterly, and then proposed to use them for the transformation of the world. And so as we look out on the world today and think of over 2 billion followers of Jesus Christ, it is important for us to remember that this is where and how it all began. Jesus' promise of the Spirit became a glorious reality. The Christian church was born. And of course, if you read on in the Acts of the Apostles, you will learn that subsequently thousands were converted to this new way of life through the witness of the apostles. Lives were entirely transformed as the Spirit was poured out. The darker elements of human nature, hatred, jealousy, envy, bigotry, sexual immorality, were replaced by what St. Paul describes as the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All these wonderful things flowed from the event called Pentecost. So is it any wonder that on this day, Christians, as it were, go back to basics to read again the thrilling account of the first Pentecost? But it's a very challenging account, of course, and it poses great questions for us. What was it about those early Christians that enabled the Spirit to be poured out? Perhaps the key to that question lies in the very simple opening verse of our reading from Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Very simple statement, but every single word is important. Firstly, they had come together for worship, the most important thing we will ever engage in. They had come for worship and for fellowship and for the study of God's word, as they were accustomed to do. But they realized that there was a need to wait. Firstly, they were waiting to receive power, spiritual power. But they realized that power and worship belong together. A disciplined pattern of worship is the means of preparing ourselves to receive the power of God, because God does not give his richest blessings to unprepared and undisciplined minds and hearts. And this is where a tremendous challenge comes hurtling in our direction as we think about the witness of the foundation members of the church to which you and I belong today. But secondly, the apostles were a fellowship, not just a collection of individuals. Christ had taken these men with very different temperaments, from vastly different backgrounds, and he had welded them together in a united body. They had learned to live with one another because the task to which Christ had called them was infinitely more important than their individual opinions. In other words, they had found it within themselves, by the grace of God, to rise above their differences and to make common cause to do the thing that God wanted them to do. And in the power of Christ's love, their differing personalities became a unity in loyalty to one another and to God. And thirdly, they were together in one place because they were ready for action. They weren't like Mr. Micawber hanging around to see if something was going to turn up. These men had come to use themselves and to be used to the glory of God. God gives his power to those who are ready to use it. The apostles were ready to embark on the work of carrying through Christ's commission to share the good news of his kingdom with the whole world. And let us remember, a world far more dangerous, far more unpredictable, far more cruel than the world we live in today. And so our meditation on the witness of these men, who were so powerfully touched by the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, calls us to at least three things. First, it calls us to worship as the means of renewing our loyalty to Christ as Lord. Are we prepared to discipline ourselves to be constant in prayer? It's no accident that in the New Testament there is something like 450 different exhortations to prayer. Secondly, it calls us to practice fellowship. Are we a body, or are we just a collection of individuals? Are we prepared to leave our differences behind in order to work together as a united body? And thirdly, it challenges us to be in spiritual contact with others, in contact with the world around us. Every day, every one of us can drop seeds of kindness, of understanding, of sympathy and love. Are we a community which is spending itself and being spent in the service of God by serving the needs of the whole community? The apostles had learned that through worship, Christ would become real to them. They had learned to live with one another and to make contact with the world around them in the name of God. And when, by the grace of God, we learn to do likewise, there will most certainly be another Pentecost and a church utterly renewed for the work to which God has called us. Let us pray. O Lord our God, who did send your Holy Spirit to abide with your church forever, renew the same Spirit within us, that our hearts may be cleansed from evil things, and the fruits of love and goodness may abound in our lives, to the glory of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.